Want to be an example, don't we? Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. I threw a few of you off there. We're going to head back to 2 Samuel, but Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll begin to read verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. If you're physically able, stand with me all over God's house to honor the reading of His Word. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest it, thou shalt surely die." Dear God, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are that God-man, as the Bible says. You are that Father that we can copy, that can be those things that Tim just sang about, dear God, that we can, Lord, desire to follow you, to know you, to make you known, dear God. I pray this morning, Lord, just a thankfulness, Lord. Thank you for a church family. Thank you for a church home. Lord, I thank you for your blessings, Lord. I thank you for opportunity of summertime, Lord. I pray for those that have gotten back from traveling, those that are traveling this week. Just keep them safe and bring them back safely to us. Let our light shine brightly as we're out and about during the summertime. And dear God, I pray for that one that's hurting, maybe a hurting heart, Lord, perhaps on every pew, that you would touch, that you'd comfort. I'd pray that you convict us, Lord, of any sin that's been unconfessed and unrepented of, Lord, that we might experience that forgiveness and that renewal. And Lord, so there's great needs, Lord. There's needs that we don't know about this morning in our own lives, needs in other lives. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you might help us, Lord, to care, Lord, to seek you, and Lord, to care enough to seek others for you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to look at two words in the verses that we just read together. The first word is the word commanded in verse 16. It says, the Lord God commanded. And then it speaks of a second word in verse 17, the word knowledge. We've been looking for some Sundays now, 2 Samuel, and we'll continue to kind of connect, but there's a statement that's made in 2 Samuel that it points to the idea of, I kind of added something that we find that David does in that passage, and we find God really unveiling early on in the Bible, and that's the idea that we need to focus on what God wants us to know. So if I had to title this message, I'd title it that way, you know, what does God want us to know? So we have in this chapter 2 something interesting is happening. God is really setting the foundation, because think about what he's doing. He is telling Adam and Eve what he wants them to know. He's telling them what they need to know. He's telling them what's important to know. And it kind of reveals to us that what's going on here is that what God is doing is he is making it known that he is a God who cares about us, who understands us, who created us, and who wants us to know the things that he wants us to know. Now, we live in a world that, man, there is, as I say almost every Sunday, because I'm reminded almost every week in my own life, man, the amount of things that people know and share that's going on in the world is incredible. And so God is saying that he's commanding. He's saying, listen, and that's really what, if you would, all of God's word, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, what we have are God's commands. They aren't God's suggestions. They aren't God's recommendations. But there are the things that God is commanding us that we need to know, we need to do, we need to understand, and we need to be obedient to what he's saying. So there's a knowledge and knowing that's connected. Then in verse 17, we use that word knowledge. And where the word knowledge is first used here is in kind of a negative. He's saying there is some knowledge, this knowledge of good and evil, that God says, listen, don't take part of that. In taking that fruit, he meant, that's knowledge that I don't want you even to have. We know that sin entered in, which was disobedience, and that's what happened. So they came to the point where they gained that knowledge. that God really intended and really God had commanded them. He said, I want you to know that you don't need to know that. Now think about that for a moment. Don't you think there's often times that we find out, you know, the Bible speaks of talebearers. You know who talebearers, how we can tell a talebearer? Just look in the mirror. Any morning, you wake up in the morning and you can look in the mirror. And we've all been and can be in any day what? A talebearer. We hear a tale. Somebody knows something. And what do? We go out chasing. We tell somebody what now we know because somebody else knew it. And the Bible warns of that and speaks of that. And so God is warning Adam and Eve. There's some knowledge that I don't want you to have. There's some knowledge that you don't need to have, and that's where we're the whole break in the Garden of Eden, the whole problem with sin, and when God gives forgiveness, as we have one day, as God will take us up either through death into heaven or rapture us up together with Him, we're going back into that environment where, listen, think about it. There's a lot of things that we find out that people know and tell us about and a lot of information. That's going to be cut off. Amen, Chris? I'm excited about that. Hey, there's not going to be anything that I'll have to know, praise God, to hear about when I'm in heaven with Him. It'll all be about Him. We'll be in His presence. So that was the picture Garden Eden had. So we understand that, and what really God kept pouring in my heart this week was that I want to know, and it's important to know what He wants me to know. You know, it's kind of a simple little acronym, but I love it. I've heard it, and you may have heard it for years. I'd only heard it several years ago, but I was riding down the road of the radio, and somebody said, Bible. If you think about the word Bible as an acronym, you could let it say basic instructions before leaving earth, the basic knowledge God wants us to have. And I think that really applies to what we're looking at this morning. So in thinking that, so God wants us to know things, here's a statement I find myself often thinking about or saying, and I think maybe you do too. How about this phrase? I didn't know that. I didn't know that. How many times do we get to that point, Elliot, where we hear something and we're like, I didn't know that. We find out how something works or doesn't work and we make that statement, I didn't know. As a pastor, some of the hardest times I've had to deal with, because it's the hardest times that you're as church family having to deal with, is when you find out things you don't know. Or you didn't know. I've had to sit in living rooms and just devastating. And some of you have experienced and been through something maybe similar, but you're sitting in that living room. And how I arrived there is a couple's had problems and some things have been revealed that one didn't know. And you're sitting there. I'll never forget one time I was in a home years ago, early in ministry, and trying to reach out to a couple. And man, you know, they say that one of the most dangerous calls that police go on is a domestic dispute call. I believe that and know that because I'm in that living room and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, if I can get out of here, I'm never coming alone, because it was just a terrible situation. And what was happening is there had been a terrible affair that was going on, and what was being revealed in the room was all the things that had happened that the other person didn't know about. All the things that they had done that the person didn't know about. And I'm sitting there. Some of the things, I'm sitting there thinking, shut up. You know, quit talking. Don't say that. And why are you doing that? I think one of the greatest, we heard it once again. We hear it all the time. You know, someone goes to the doctor. They've not been feeling well. And they find out they've got cancer. Amen. It's touched many of you, touched families. And didn't know. Had no idea that cancer was in your body or in someone level's body. Just did not know. Oftentimes we find in life that maybe someone that we in the church family or in our family, they've got a problem and we hear about it or they finally tell us about it. Jim, we say, I didn't know. I just didn't know, Randy, that you know you were hurting that way or you felt that way, experiencing what's going on. There's practical things I think that come to mind to kind of shift our focus on where we're going is on the didn't know. You know, so if God has things He wants us to know, I want to hear Him from them. I want to understand them. And I want to know more of what God wants me to know. Amen? Instead of all the junk that comes in life. Thinking about things I didn't know. I'd heard all my life that if you have a grease fire, do not put water on a grease fire. Amen? Okay, do not put water on a grease fire. It'll burn the kitchen down, burn the house. Don't do that. I hadn't been working long. Me and Sandra hadn't been married long. We moved into our home. I came home. I had one of those days. Several of you have always related to me that your whole week or certain days had been one of those days, rough week. And I came home, and when I got out of the car, I drove from Charlotte. And usually that was time I could get work off my mind, get kind of calmed down, focused. But I was still kind of steaming, Tony. So I got out of the car, and I walked back. There's a little patch of woods in the field, and I walked back there. And I'm just glad to be home, glad to be outside, glad to be out of the office. And I just kind of catch my breath. And then I hear a blood-curdling scream, and it's Sandra. Fire! There's a fire! I get running into the house, and there on the stove is a pot of grease and a little flame about this high. You know? And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, and I'm still in that mode, you know, that you just from that day. And I just walked over, and I'm remembering, don't put water on the grease fire. And I didn't know where the bacon, we probably owned baking soda, didn't have a fire extinguisher. And I was just mad anyway, Robbie. So I grabbed that pot, and I just it's burning by this high, and I just took it out. And I laid it in the driveway, right there in the driveway. And I backed up, and I thought, I know you're not supposed to put water on the grease fire. But I would kind of like to know what happens when you put water on a grease fire. So I got me the water hose, and I backed up the appropriate, I thought, safe distance. And I let her rip. And I'm telling you, that water, I can see it just as real today as it was that day. That water hit you, it came out of the hose. It went in that pot. And I swore to you, I don't want to exaggerate, but flames jumped out, I believe, 20 foot in the air. That little pot and that little fire, flames jumped out. And I said, now I know. Now I know why you don't pour water in a grease fire in a house, because there's some 20 foot of flames that go up in the kitchen wall. So all of a sudden, I knew completely. I was able to completely know something I hadn't known before. And see, that's what God is all about in His Word. And that's why we come to church. And that's why we have Sunday school and Bible school. That's why we study and read our Bibles at home. That's why we pray. Because God says, I want you to know some things. And oftentimes, it's things that we've heard about. We don't really know it because we've not been down that road yet. Some of the things I told you about. But God wants us to know. And I want to know those things because they're important. They're important to my walk with Him. They're important to my family. They're important to my safety in our future and everywhere we go. I didn't have any idea. I tell you, we've been in our house for about 28 years, and we hadn't done really nothing to it, okay? And man, God bless with a home. God bless us with that paint and that flooring. But amen, 28 years, there's a lot, you know, carpet's looking rough, amen. Painting's looking rough. And my wife finally kind of put the, it's time to do something. Got some prices. Got up in the mirror one morning, looked in the bathroom, like, there's who does the work right there. That's the one that'll do the work. So we started painting, we started doing things. And then we fast forward, we did everything but the bathroom. But you know, who wants to mess with the bathroom? So the bathroom's a mess. I've had some leaks, and I've repaired some leaks over time. Heaven forgive. I've fixed some floor, but we've got a rotten spot. And I'll just be quite honest, Sandra, we'll tell us. My wife said, I'm going to wake up one night, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and the commode's going through the floor. Now, I started getting that image, and I'm thinking, that ain't going to be good, church. So we get it fixed. Had a friend of mine that had a friend that did some, going to do some tile work. Fixed it up. And we had a little vent on the side of the little tile that they left me with, and I needed to put four screws in the tile. I don't know anything about tile. But I watched him when he worked, and if you, maybe you're like me, didn't know much about it, or maybe you do know, but you lay a piece of tile on this crazy little thing, you score a little thing on that tile, and that's a pop shot in two. It's amazing. So I get my drill out, I get my new bit, I know better to use the old ones, I'm like, I need to put four holes in here, I'll put this thing in none. I can't do nothing. It's burning, it's smoking, ain't having nothing. I go to Walmart and buy another bit. I can't get anything in it. I start getting on the phone saying, you know, how in the world do you drill a hole in tile? Old preacher, you have to rent you a bit somewhere. Oh, how do you do that? Oh, just go to the renter's there. They tell us it's an idiot. They don't rent bits. Are you going to need a diamond bit, preacher? You can't get through that stuff. I went everywhere. I tried to find everything. I couldn't find it. I finally, and you go to my house now, I finally got two holes of the four I needed and got the thing on there and let it go. Unless you've got special equipment, special tools, I did not know you can't drill a hole in tile. I didn't know that. And spent all that time trying to talk to people, trying to do things, trying to do whatever I could, and scared all the time I was going to mess something up. That's kind of what God's knowledge is. See, some of you, that's what you're doing now. You got a situation that you're dealing with personally, in your family, in your marriage, or at work, or whatever, and you're trying your best to get a hole through that. You're trying to get through it, and you're trying to do your own, but you don't know that the situation you're dealing with is like that tile. And there's no way you can get through it without God. I'll be honest, you can go to I ain't got a good hole in it yet, amen? It's as current as yesterday. I was working some of my mom's old farm, and I was working old fence post. And some of you know, T-post is pretty simple, Susie. Y'all probably got T-post on the farm, you know. It's just a metal post shaped like a T. And I need to put one up, and I put it up, but I need it to be shorter. And so, man, I had gotten a gift. I forget what the gift was. It was a Lowe's gift card, and I had went and bought. A lot of you guys got them Sawzalls. And, man, I'd always love. I thought, well, get me one of those. I had a brand new Sawzall, brand new bit. I had just cut some metal curtain rods or something for Santa, and I got my metal bit. I said, I'm going to cut that thing off. I went down there, and I said, this is going to be a simple thing, man, because this Sawzall's new, and I've seen them work good. I'm going to cut it right off. And, Jim, they were smoking. And it weren't going nowhere, and I thought, And I looked, and it had every bit of the teeth were gone off the blade. And I'm like, Lord. And you know, I'm out in the woods, and it's hot, and it's humid, and I'm hot, you know. And here's how technology. So I start Googling how you cut through a T-post, and they talk about plasma cutters and side grinders and all this stuff. And I'm like, I didn't know, David, that I couldn't just cut through that like I didn't know. Same thing. We continually face things in our life, and you've got your own story, amen. We could start going around the room, but biblically speaking, now listen, God is continually looking down on us. So he was looking at me yesterday thinking, Jeff, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're getting ready to experience. You don't know what's going to happen when you try to do that. And continually looks down at my life and he says, Jeff, you don't know. You're not looking at that right way. You need to know what I know about this situation. Let me tell you, God knows. God knows people. You realize that? God created you and I. He knows how minds work, how hearts ache, how things break. Hey, God knows people. I'm going to tell you this. You know, marriage, God knows marriages. Amen. God created the institution of marriage. He is the one that knows how to make a marriage work. God is the one. Hey, God is the healer. So when we get sick, whether it's cancer, whether it's a broken limb or some other disease or simple as well, God knows about healing. You see where I'm going at? God knows all these things, and he continually cries out to you and I, saying, listen, he's not a God that sits up in heaven and just like laughs at me because I can't get through the T-post or laughs at me because I don't know about, tile. He sits up there, and his heart is, I want you to know. I want to help you. And I wish if you didn't get anything else out of what God's showing us this morning in this message is this, that God is saying, I've got some things that you desperately need to know specifically about what you're dealing with. And I mean, he's just longing in heaven. He cares about you. He loves you. And he says, I just want you to know. And he's using circumstances and people. He wants to use the word and prayer to help us know. Our knowledge is limited, amen. Adam and Eve's knowledge was, you talk about limited knowledge. Think about them. I mean, they've just been created. They've just been put here. Their knowledge is, our knowledge is so limited. And the longer I live, the more I'm reminded is of just how much my knowledge is limited. What I don't know, realizing what I don't know. I really wrote in my notes here, our knowledge is limited, and it's limited more by our memory and time, amen. We've all got more knowledge than we can recall, than we can remember our knowledge. But see, you find, and I'm no scientist, and I'm no doctor, but I've read and I understand that the problem with our lack of knowledge and being limited is not, the problem isn't our brain capacity. Amen. They tell us we only use a fraction of percentages of storage ability of our brain. So it didn't mean that God gave us that we only could store so much. If you've got a small mind like mine that I'm even limited more than others, I'm saying God is trying to show us it's not a brain problem. It's not a capacity problem. I learned we got Amazon a few years ago, and we ordered some things. We even ordered diapers now for Adelaide. It's a real neat. I'm not trying to advertise for them, but I read a little thing that said you can store your pictures online. I got all these pictures, Lisa, of Adelaide on my phone. It's about all Adelaide, amen? So I'm thinking, no, send them up to that cloud, you know, Marty, and I think that'll be good. And so it said unlimited pictures, but it said that there's a limit on videos. You can only put a certain amount of videos on there, and I was uploading from my phone and couldn't get our internet to work at my house. I don't know about yours. So went over to a neighbor's friend's house. They got one of those fast internets, and man, it uploaded all the rest of my pictures, and then it started uploading those videos, and it stopped. Said, you reached the limit. Can't put any more up here. Now, our brain is not that way. It's not that there's a limit or there's a capacity problem. But what the problem is it's a me and you problem in how much we desire, how much knowledge we desire to have, how much knowledge of what God has for us that we desire to have. It's almost, listen, isn't it almost that way? And I can see it now. I look down at my phone, you know, it really aggravated me because they started going Scott, and I'm thinking, hey, maybe all mine will go up. Maybe I'll be within that number and I'll get that part. And it aggravated me because I'm thinking, why won't it, you know, why can't it just take a few more? And I think God looks down at me and you sometimes and he says, listen, I've got so much for you. And it's not that our brain can't handle anymore. It's not that we don't need them anymore. But what's happening is, what we're saying is, that's enough, God. That's enough, God. I don't want any more. How much time does your Bible, let's just be honest, how much time does your Bible spend in a week in that position right there? And the more time we limit, more time we limit God, he's almost like, I think it was a scream out of heaven. But the Bible says it's still a small voice, and what he's wanting to say is, I've got some things you need to know. And I'm telling you, there's never a time that I pick up this word and I'm reading in the Proverbs or the Psalms. I'm in the New Testament, the Old Testament, and I'm reading. I'm like, man, God, I needed that. And that connects to something that happened yesterday. And then I'll read it in the morning, and later in the day, that connects. And so what it is things we're doing, what we do is we treat God like, you know, that we're in control or something. And we keep closing. You ever had God, man, I've had times, I'll testify, I'm riding down the road, God's really speaking to me, and I, you know, it's really hard to think about, and even hard to pray about and know about, and applying things, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, you know, I want to cut the radio and listen to something else. I'm glad Sandra called, or Hilton called, or Brooke called. I'm glad somebody called Rob, because stop, put the limit on. So what we have to understand is, what's going on is, there's a lot of things that he wants everyone to know. There's things that he wants us all to know. And then there's specific things that once we find out, we want everybody to know. I've got a verse. I'll give you the verse. I'll give you a thought I had about it. In Proverbs 16:25, and you've heard me say this more and more probably in the past year or so, but the Bible says, Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now think about it. There are ways that seem right. So the Bible is saying I know what's right. But God says, no, that's wrong information. It's going to lead to a wrong way. The very thing that happened last night. I mean, I had worked outside, caught some things, had one of those days, didn't have to go to the hospital, didn't have any church stuff going on. Amen. Preston was Saturday too. Y'all right? Worked out all day. I know it's hot, but I got in, got my shower, got settled, got something to eat. And all of a sudden, there's kind of turmoil in the home, and Davy's running out, and Hilton's driving out the driveway, and what's going on? The storm had just come through in a tree and fallen just down below my brother's house, fallen in 205, blocking half the road. Some of you know the road I live on. Highway 205 can be a terrible road. I mean, it can be dangerous. I mean, it's people flying, people crazy. And so the tree's blocking half the road. My brother's on top of the hill, and he's stopping people and letting them know that, you know, hey, be careful. You can get around, but there's a blind curve there, and people, if I want to be very careful, they want everyone to know. So I wasn't a very good brother, and he had called, and let them know that the tree was on. And my brother started thinking, maybe we can get it out. I took a top of the hill, way down the road view, big old oak tree laying, huge thing laying on the road. I looked down, I said, we'll get killed getting that thing out of the road. That'll take an hour to get out of the road. We ain't got a chainsaw that sharpens, you know. Just let the state come take care of it. I can cut a tree, but I don't want to get run over in the road. So then me and my brother decided to walk down there. We walked down there, and there was just a few kind of big limbs, but just limbs in the way. We looked at it. He said, I think we can too. I said, I'll grab Daddy's pole saw, and he said, I'm going to get some more shoes on. So Hilton, he mans the top of the hill. He's got the hardest job. He's going to let everyone know something they need to know. Hilton's standing there, and there's about five cars come up. We're just right before getting it. Praise God, I don't know who this young man was. We had a young boy, had people go by. I could tell you stories about people going by and what they did and how they said, hey, one young boy drove by. He said, hey, somebody in the fire department, they'll be right by, probably already coming with the chainsaw. He said, but let me try to put, that guy ripped off his shirt, your boy ripped off his shirt, he helped us move the tree. But back to this story. So Hilton is stopping everyone. I'm walking down to go down to where it's at, and Hilton's got a car, some nice people, he's telling them. And all of a sudden, the second car, you can tell the guy's mad, he's upset. He whoops out around that other car. He starts flying down the road. My brother's down there going, oh, because there's a truck coming around the tree right there. He's trying to stop. He literally swerves at my brother, like, don't mess with me. Swerves back in the road, and as soon as he's going around the tree, a car is coming and almost a hit. Now, he didn't want to know what we were trying to tell him. But he needed to know what we were trying to tell him. And every time there's almost a head-on collision, for whatever reason is, my thought is, what if that was my family? What if that's my church family? What if Mr. Retta is coming back from New Salem Way, and that crazy person who we're trying our best to tell him what he needs to know goes flying around and hits Mr. Retta head-on. And everyone, and Hit Boy Hilton's upset. My brother's upset. We all upset. You know, I get in my study early this morning, and I think, well, that's me. That's you. God, from on high, your Bible's closed up, not praying much, you're real busy, you're really in a hurry, and God, it's got something that we need to know. God puts people in our path. It's a friend, it's a stranger, it's a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, it's a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, somebody. And we go around. We keep going around. We keep going around what God wants us to know. There's three pictures here, and I'm done. One picture is the Bible has things that he wants everybody to know. They're basic things. Who he is, sin, our need for a Savior in Jesus, to be forgiven, heaven, everything. Then for every one of us, every day, every moment of the day, he's got a word, something he wants us to know, to apply that he gave us a knowledge before, or he's going to be sending it to you, and he wants us to know practically for what the circumstance is. And thirdly, there's that, I'd call it just that joy, that love, that, y'all, things he wants you to know, that you don't have to have it to get through the day. It ain't going to ask you your problem. It's not going to help with your sickness or your hurt or your pain. but it's just those things. And I thought this morning as I was in my study, I said, gosh, that's a whole nother message of just things he wants us to know. What he thinks and how he loves you and how he cares about you and how he forgives you and all those things. And see, we think more about how we go around him and we don't want to know when he's trying to stop us, when it's those hard things he wants us to stop. You know, what let's be honest. My wife's a prophet. My wife's one of the smartest people I know in the world because she's always telling me something. And what I'm thinking, I say it sometimes, I'm thinking, I know that. I know that. I know I need to do. I know. I know that. We think about those things, and God keeps telling you and I, and I know that, God. I know that. No. Hilton said it good. I love what my son said the other day, just out of the blue, and he could tell what he was all thinking about, and just kind of generally said, gosh, you know how, boy, God's grace. How I need to not do this, and how sin, he said, God's grace. But y'all, just importantly, is where God wants to say to us all that he just wants us to know. I think sometimes that he knows. I know what you're dealing with. He says, I know how you feel. And he starts saying, but I know what's going to happen if you'll just hold on, keep listening to me, quit knowing what everybody else knows, quit worrying about somebody, and you just wait, because I know what's coming that you don't know. Would you bow with me? With all our heads bowed and our eyes closed. For somebody this morning, you don't know really your condition spiritually, your relationship with him, or lack of relationship. He wants you to know that you're lost and you need him. And during this time, you can simply leave your seat and leave that old life and old sin and come to an altar and pray and give your heart to him, or come, let us open the Bible and share with you what it means to know more about him as Savior. But I promise everyone under the sound of my voice, there's just power in prayer at his altar. You might need to come, and it excites me as your pastor to know that he's got some things he wants you to know and what the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart today can be unimaginable. As Ephesians 3:20 says, exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. And maybe God was calling to be part of our church family, or whatever it is that he wants you to know, that's what I want you to know. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.